All right, good morning. What a fine looking bunch we have here today. I also want to welcome everyone that's joining us in our Facebook or YouTube channel. It's good to have you here today. You know, I think we're in our peak, aren't we, as far as the leaves? I think so. Yeah, Arlene and I were driving around yesterday, and it was like, whoa, look, wow. So I think we're there, and the wind started blowing a little bit, so we're probably going to lose a lot of that. But boy, it's been a beautiful few days here with the trees. Okay, over the last month or so, we've been talking about rooted, growing deep, living strong. We talked about, you know, planting and growing and pruning. And today we're going to talk about harvest. Harvest. Let me start with an example. I remember back when I went to college many, many years ago, I remember we had one of the biggest freshman class ever at Johnson University, Johnson Bible College then. And they said, boy, that's the biggest freshman class. You know, I don't know if it was ever, but it had been for a long time. But then if you went to college, you've had this experience, because after your freshman year, you know, you go home for the summer, whatever, you work, whatever, you go back to school for your sophomore year, and you always say this: where's so-and-so? Well, he didn't come back. Well, what happened to so-and-so? Well, she decided that college wasn't for her. Remember that? Remember how every year you had this law of attrition where you lost a certain number of people. And whereas you started with this large group your freshman year, on the day that you graduated 4 years later, or, you know, 6 or 7 years later, or whatever, there was a lot of people that started with you that wasn't there. You know, that made me think about this, because how many of us, you know what, God plants us, we grow, we are pruned by ourselves or by God or by others, but how many of us ever really realize and understand the harvest? You know what, I believe there's a lot of people in the kingdom of God that's never experienced the harvest. They've never gotten to that place that Jesus talked about, where something is sown, something grows, something is disciplined and pruned, but then it realizes this 30, 60, 100-fold return, right? It's incredible. Matter of fact, I was thinking about my college years and how that attrition happened, and then I realized, you know what, that continued on. You know, down through the years, I heard about, you know, people that I went to school with, people that I graduated with, people that had tremendous talents and abilities, and you hear that they're no longer in the ministry, that they've left the ministry, that, you know, whatever. And it's like, wow, how in the world did that happen? Matter of fact, since I graduated in 40 years ago, I quit, okay? I just don't want to give up right now, right? I mean, that's been a long time ago. But it's still, you know, how many are still at it, still producing, still growing, still realizing that harvest? Because here's the thing, folks, and I'm going to get to this in my message today and make sure that you understand this, that the harvest that Jesus is talking about is a twofold harvest. There is the harvest in the soul and in the mind and the spirit and the body of every believer, that God wants us to grow in the fruits of the Spirit, and He wants those fruits to just overflow from our lives, and we grow and we mature and we are just full of joy because we are a part of the kingdom of God. And then the second part of the harvest is the harvest of souls that come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There's a harvest of spiritual fruit that can be developed in the life of a believer. But there's also a harvest of souls that will be the result of God's work in the individual, in the world in which He... You know, folks, I don't know about you, but I think there's a lot of people that have never had a harvest. They've never experienced that joy, that magnification, that ongoing work of God in your life. In either way, in your own life, where you grow in the fruits of the Spirit, or by the souls that come to know the Lord because of that planting and growing and pruning and of that harvest within you. So today, as we study this passage of Scripture, I want us to realize that that this understanding of harvest, see, because I think so many times people are waiting for the harvest to come to them. They're waiting to experience a harvest. They're waiting for God to do something. They're waiting for something to happen. And the message from the Bible that I'm going to share with you today is that that harvest is within you, that that harvest is within us all. Otherwise, how can we understand this passage of Scripture in Galatians 5 when he says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit is inside each of you. So let's start today with this beautiful passage in Matthew. I love this passage because it has so much to say for us. In verse 35, chapter 9, it says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogue, proclaiming good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. Think about this. This is the parable of the sower. The planting continues. The growing continues. Jesus here is talking about the idea of pruning. And what is Jesus desiring? Jesus is desiring that the planting of the gospel in everybody's heart will grow and mature, and through the discipline of our Father in heaven, that we will reach a great harvest. The harvest is what comes. The harvest is what comes after planting. The harvest comes when after cultivation and growth and pruning. The harvest is what comes after everything else that is necessary to see literally the fruits of the Spirit. And here's the thing, folks. Everybody wants the delicious fruit at the time of harvest, but very few do the things that are necessary to achieve that harvest along the way. So let's take a look at this, folks. The harvest is inside you. A follower of Jesus is given the Spirit of God. When Jesus died, Peter preached this great sermon on the day of Pentecost, and the people said, what must we do to be saved? And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us, and that Spirit has lots of different jobs, but one is to produce a harvest of fruit of that Spirit, that because of that Spirit is inside of us, we produce this harvest of love and all the other fruits of the Spirit. But the key here is to be walking. Galatians, the broader chapter in Galatians, mentions that the Spirit is in conflict with each other. The Spirit of the flesh and the Spirit of the world, the fruits of the human nature, are sexual immorality and impurity and debauchery and idolatry and witchcraft and hatred and jealousy and fits of rage and selfish ambition and dissensions and factions. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Which Spirit rules your life? I mean, is your life spent in all of these fruits of the Spirit? Or do you find yourself in conflict with those things because of the things of the... Listen, folks, we have to make sure that we are so connected, that we are so growing, that we have both sides of this harvest, a harvest within ourselves and a harvest within the world of souls that are following Him. But it doesn't happen unless we understand that harvest is within us. It's not something that we wait on. It's not even something that is sent. Jesus says, and we'll look at this in a little bit, He says, pray for workers to come into the field, because the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The harvest is there. We just must claim it. You know, I don't know about you, but there's times in my life where you know, there's just lines that are hard to cross. Let me give you an example of that. Yesterday, we laid to rest here a beautiful person of First Church, Kathy Rosenberry. Remember Kathy? Kathy was such a... She was a great soul. She was so fun. I calculated that I've driven in a van with Kathy over 200,000 miles. You have too. Yeah, a lot of these folks, we went on this trip every year down to Johnson for Senior Saints in the Smokies, and she always went. And she told me a story one time, and I told her, Kathy, I'm not sure I believe that. And it was a story about her brother, Reg. He was here yesterday. He was 95 years old. And I'm telling you what, he was fit. He was clear. It was amazing how fresh this guy was. He had a girlfriend on his arm that I'm telling you what, if she was 55, she was barely, okay? He's 95, maybe a little. But anyway, you get what I'm saying. So I hadn't seen Reg in a long time, and it happened right there, actually, right between those two seats before the service started. I said, Reg, I got to ask you something. I said, Kathy told me a story about you and her years ago, and I didn't believe it, okay? I don't believe it. And I just want to ask you if this really happened. And what it was that Kathy told me years ago. Kathy had three sons. Britt was the oldest, and then she had Chris. Britt was in the military. Chris was a policeman. And Doug, her youngest, was a local educator here in town. And she told me that her brother, delivered her children. And I said, no, Kathy. See, Reg delivered my kids. So I said, Reg, is this true? And he said, yeah, it's true. And you know what? I said, listen, I got five sisters, and that's just a line that I'm not willing to cross. I'm so glad that my sisters are all old now, and they're not going to be having any babies, because I was just flabbergasted by that. He said, yeah, that's true. I did that. It was just amazing. How many of you ladies have brothers? Raise your hand. You going to let him deliver your baby? Yeah, I, huh? Well, I don't care what he is. He was a doctor, but he was not an OBGYN, okay? I don't care if he was a doctor. That was irrelevant to me. She shouldn't have even brought that up. You didn't need to know that, okay? But anyway, here's the thing. I've been trying to figure out how a spiritual lesson come out of that I could fit that into a sermon. So there it is, okay? And here's the spiritual lesson. You know, there's some lines that it's tough to step over. And you know what? I think the line between planting, growing, and pruning, and harvesting is a tough line to cross. Matter of fact, I believe, and I could be wrong in this, I believe that there's not too many people, not too many believers that really get through that progression and get to the point where they see and realize and experience a harvest. Because so many times we're experiencing a drought or we're experiencing a catastrophe. I mean, have you ever known anybody that's planted something and some weather event happens and they're not able to realize the harvest? I mean, you ever known anybody that's planted a field and then the floods came and washed it all away? There was no harvest? I think there's a lot of folks in the kingdom of God, and some of us are here this morning that we planted, we grew, we've pruned, but we're waiting for the harvest. And the harvest is inside of each of us. You know, as I talk about and share the fruits of the Spirit, I can imagine several specific characteristics that stick out, either positive or negative. And I encourage you to make a note of those that caught your attention and ask God to prune or grow that fruit that He wants in your life. Because here's the thing. And listen, get this. What's the Bible say? The Bible says that we blank what we sow. We reap what we sow. The harvest is within each of us. The harvest is dependent on us growing and maturing and having those fruits multiply inside of our lives. Galatians 6 says, whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family. Do not become weary in doing good. You know, one of the things that keeps us from experiencing the harvest is weariness. We give in to a weary soul. I mean, to say it plainly, think about it. If a farmer or a gardener plants apple trees, they're going to receive apples. If they plant strawberry plants, they're going to receive strawberries. The Bible is so clear that if we sow evil and sin into our lives and the lives around us, we will reap that very same thing in return. If we want to receive the things of God within our lives, we must sow to please the Spirit. We should willingly and readily sow love and joy and peace and patience. Do I have to say them again? We must sow those things to receive the good things of God. Because you know what? We got to keep that fruit fresh. Do you ever do this? Harleen and I do this quite often. You know, we buy something and we enjoy it, and you know, some of it's left over, and we put it in the refrigerator. And after 6, 7, 8 months, one of us opened the refrigerator, and she said this just recently. Something stinks in here. What is it? It's something that you've bought, and you did not use it in a timely manner. You know, there's a bowl of fruit on the counter, and you're going to pick up an apple, and you pick them up, and you look at it, and you find one that has a place in it, and you find one that has a soft spot, and you keep picking until you find one that is fresh, not rotten. It's so easy to tell the difference between fresh and rotten. Is your fruit fresh, or is it rotten? I mean, you know, you can examine your fruit. I'm talking about the fruits of the Spirit in your life, and you can know whether or not it is fresh or not. But the point here is that people around you, they'll recognize it, right? They see whether or not your fruit is fresh or rotten. And you know what, folks? You can't attract anything good with rotten fruit. You see, folks, what Paul is talking here to the people about is just this understanding that you need to expect a harvest. You know, nobody plants a field of anything and doesn't want a harvest, because it is a tragedy when there's no harvest. It's terrible when some calamity happens or some infestation happens or some weather event happens and destroys the crop that causes no harvest to come. You've seen those things, and I've read those things, and it's incredible. It's like it's the worst thing that can happen, because you know what? It devastates the farm. No harvest. And they just try to make it up the next year. You know what, folks? I think that's what the kingdom of God has been doing for centuries. Because we've never really understood that if the word of God is planted inside our souls, and we've cultivated the ground where it is acceptable, and it begins to grow, and then it is pruned, and then no harvest comes, because we don't continue in that process of what God has called us to do. You see, folks, salvation is a process that begins with a profession of faith, but doesn't end until we expire. I was thinking about my college experience and how every year, you know, freshman year, sophomore year, oh, it's going to fall. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. But she's just like, I think God just told her, hang around him and do whatever he needs done, okay? But I think back to my college years, and, you know, we had this, you know, you lose them after the freshman year, you lose them after sophomore, you lose them after the junior year. You have a much smaller group that graduates than started on this experience. And then after college and you go through life, you know, some fall away. They end up doing something else. They lose their passion. They lose their steam. And you think about it. Really, this harvest isn't realized until that final day comes. You know, yesterday with Kathy here, it was so amazing, because I don't know if you've ever been to funerals here, but sometimes if the family wants, we do this whole little microphone thing where we let anybody talk. And we did that yesterday, and her son spoke a little bit, and then, you know, different people just kept standing up. And I wished I hadn't said this, but I actually did say it out loud. And I just said after a while, I said, you know, we do have church here tomorrow morning. And everybody laughed. But you know what? I believe with all my heart that those folks could still be here right now talking about that woman's life and what she meant to them. But you know what? Her harvest was finally realized. When it says, you know, absent for the bodies to be present with the Lord. Well done, my good and faithful servant. That's the crowning achievement of the harvest in Christ. God grows it by his power and by our cooperation over time. He harvests by his power and by our partnership with him and his power. Listen to this word. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, continue to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his purpose. That is the harvest, and it's all around us. You know, folks, I'll say it again. Everyone wants that delicious fruit at the time of harvest, but few are willing to do all that's necessary along the way to achieve that fruit. Last few weeks, we talked about some weighty realities in following Jesus. You know, we've described ourselves, and all of these seasons have their place in the life of the believer. There is a process with a very real eternal destination. But here's the thing, folks. As we end our time together, I want us to bow our heads, so just bow your hands. I want you to consider this. Wherever you find yourself today, be a fruit inspector and know that God sees you. He knows the journey that you've taken and the trials that you've had along the way. And by his grace and empowerment, you can have a life of abundant fruit where you can see a 10, 20, maybe even 100-fold return. But it all comes down to understanding that it is within us. That we do reap what we sow. We understand whether we are fresh fruit or rotten fruit. And that we just have to relinquish the control of the harvest to the Lord of the heart. I want to tell you one more thing here just before we conclude. With all your heads bowed and your eyes closed, consider this. When Jesus said, pray for workers in the harvest, for the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. That scripture was actually the scripture that I responded to 40-some years ago to accept my call into the ministry of Jesus. And I humbly submit to you today that for 40-some years I've looked at that scripture wrong, because that scripture is not a call for missionaries. It's not a call for pastors. It's not a call just for vocational ministries for people to enter into. Jesus spoke those words to his disciples. It was a call for all of us to realize that we are responsible for the harvest. Not just some, not just a few, not just pastors or elders or missionaries or teachers or anything else. That we all are responsible for the harvest within ourselves and around ourselves. So pray to the Lord of the harvest to help you to realize a great and abundant harvest in him. Oh God, we give you, Lord, our lives here this morning. And we pray, Lord, that we would understand what a harvest is and what a harvest looks like. But Lord, there cannot be a harvest out there among the many souls that need to you until there is a great harvest within us all. And Lord, until we are conquered by the fruits of your wonderful Spirit, and we allow those fruits to grow and to mature and to overflow out of our lives into the lives of the people around us. So God, I pray for each person in this room this morning that we could make that commitment. And then, Lord, we could be a part of those blessed few that start well and end strong, surrounded by a great harvest that only you can bring. May it be so, Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Amen.